please get your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 John tonight. Our passage is just one verse this evening, 1 John 3, verse 1. And please give your careful attention to the reading of God's holy and infallible word tonight. Again, just the brief verse, 1 John 3, 1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Father, we ask that you might add your blessing to the reading of your word tonight. You, your Son, you are the great shepherd. We are your sheep, the people of your pasture. We ask tonight that you might feed us and care for us. For we are weak and we are hungry. And we need the nourishment that only you can give us. And so, Lord, please do these things as we ask, for we do ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the verse that's before us this evening, the Apostle John says three things, and I didn't delineate this at all in your outline, but you might want to write these down. They could be helpful in thinking about this passage. But he says three things that I hope will be seen as very helpful to us as we prepare to come to the Lord's table tonight. But also, beyond just coming to the Lord's table this evening and partaking of the Lord's Supper together, hopefully these three things that John brings up or mentions in this one verse will also be very instrumental for all of us as we begin, and what I'm going to urge is that we all begin to live more self-consciously in light of the Lord's Supper. That we live self-consciously in light of the Lord's Supper. Indeed, tonight I want to challenge you with the thought and maybe encourage you to go off and begin the project of developing what I'm going to call, and if you're filling in your blanks, what I'm going to call a sacramental worldview. You need to develop, every Christian needs to develop a sacramental worldview. Now, I realize that that is not very common language. There's all kinds of maybe explosions going off in your head right now, red flags. Let me demystify the terminology a bit and try to explain what I mean by a sacramental worldview by an illustration that I think will be clear to all of us. Whenever a family, and this is true for both Christian and non-Christian families, but whenever families gather around the table to partake of a meal together, really a worldview is being communicated and developed in the children. The family gathers to eat together, conversation takes place. Questions are asked, parents answer those questions, and inevitably, the children, as this goes on throughout the life, they're developing a way to view the world. They go out from those times around the table, and they are affected now in how they think about the world, the things that they might say, actions that they might be involved with. Well, so too with us, the children of God. When we gather around His table and we partake together, as we come and as we participate in the Lord's Supper, as we eat and drink together, and as we listen to the word of our triune God, as we listen to the words of our loving Heavenly Father, we also are to be developing a worldview. This is to teach us a way of seeing everything in life. Now that we've been here, and now that we've been raised here, and now that we have been nurtured, it should change how we engage in every part of our lives in this world, every thought we think, every decision we make, every word we say. This is what I mean by a sacramental worldview. Now, the three things that John speaks of, and I want your eyes to be there on verse 1 of 1 John chapter 3, the three things that John speaks of here will help us in our understanding and hopefully will benefit even tonight as we come to the table together. But the first thing I want us to notice is right at the very beginning of the verse, and that is his, what I'm going to call his exclamation. Not explanation, we're going to get to that one, but his exclamation. Wow, basically, is what he says here. Behold, it says, behold what manner of love. This is an exclamation. This is a shout of joy. What manner of love the Father has given to us. In fact, the term here, what manner, could be thought of and translated as from what country does this love come from? This love is out of this world. This love is not normal love, which the Father has given to us. Where in the world did this love come from? That's his exclamation. Second thing is his proclamation, that we should be called children of God, and then notice, and so we are. This is his declaration or his proclamation to us, that we should be called the children of God, and we are. In other words, what John is saying here is we are not merely called children of God. That's not just a nice title that someone has put upon us and said, hey, think of yourself in this way. You'll feel really good about yourself. Go around thinking of yourself as a child of God. No, John's saying, and he's declaring here, we are not merely called children of God. We are. This is our reality. We actually are children of God. The third thing I want us to see in this brief verse that really will hopefully translate into how we understand the Lord's Supper and having the supper really develop in us a sacramental worldview is John's explanation. The final thing he says here, the explanation. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Here's his explanation. The reason why the world does not know us is because it did not know him. In other words, the world thinks we're crazy. The world does not buy it for a moment that we are the children of God. The world actually mocks our faith. They think that we're completely deluded because we believe that we are the children of God. But John is explaining here that the reason that the world does not know you as you really are, does not know that reality about you, the world doesn't know that you are a child of God because the world doesn't know the Son of God. They don't believe. They've never recognized and known him. The reality of Jesus Christ, that he is the only begotten Son of God in flesh. They only see him as a man. And then so they mock, you're following a man. Therefore, he is not the Son of God. Therefore, you're not children of God. The reason why the world doesn't know us is because it did not know him. So these are the three things. Again, the exclamation, God's love is otherworldly. the proclamation. We are not merely called children of God. We are children of God. And the explanation. The world doesn't believe this about us because it doesn't believe in Jesus. So these three things actually translate over into our understanding of the Lord's Supper, and again, not only enabling us to benefit as we come to the table tonight, but they begin to develop in us and for us a sacramental worldview. They enable us to more and more live in light of the truth that the Lord's Supper proclaims to us. And while there is a lot of things that we could and likely should say about a sacramental worldview, we're going to focus just on two of those things that can be said tonight. And the first is that the Lord's Supper, sitting around or sitting here as a congregation around the table of our God and Father, sitting at table with the family of God, with our siblings, teaches us, and if you're filling in those blanks, it teaches us the reality of mystery and the supernatural. The Lord's Supper teaches us the reality of mystery and the supernatural. Now, I am not meaning by what I am about to say that this bread becomes the actual flesh of Christ or that this wine becomes the actual blood of Christ. So let me be very clear. I don't believe in those positions, one called consubstantiation, the other called transubstantiation. But it is the case that when we come by faith to the Lord's table, and here's the thing to fill in, what we see is not all that we get. When we come to the Lord's table by faith, when we come seeking Christ as He's presented before us, what we see, a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine, is not all that we get. Yes, you eat, and it is nothing more than that. You eat a bit of bread, and yes, you do drink a little bit of wine, and it is nothing more than wine. But when you come in a spiritual manner, when you come looking to Christ by faith, when we enjoy the blessing of the working of the Holy Spirit, and when we enjoy the blessing of God the Father as we come together around this table, you get Christ by faith. You embrace Him as He's presented before you, just in the same way as if I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do you get Christ when you hear the good news of the gospel? How do you get Him? You embrace Him by faith as He's offered to you. Well, the Lord's Supper is simply the proclamation of the gospel in a different medium. You're not just hearing, now you're seeing a presentation of the good news of Jesus Christ. And so our response is the same. I'm going to embrace Jesus Christ as He's being offered to me. In other words, we don't merely get bread. We don't merely get wine. And that is a great mystery. Indeed, it is by means of the Lord's Supper. It is by means of the Lord's Supper, God's blessing on it, our fixing our eyes steadfastly on Jesus by faith, by means of the supper, we move beyond the natural, material world, and we actually participate in something that is absolutely supernatural. We actually and truly, indeed, spiritually and by faith, we actually are communing with the God-man, Jesus Christ. Folks, we struggle, and I think we have diminished so much the glory of the church of Jesus Christ, the glory of the sacraments. If you are looking for a faith that can entirely fit into your mind and you can figure it all out, Christianity is not for you. We serve and worship an incomprehensible God. I mean, who can plumb the depths of His triune nature? We are saved by an incomprehensible Savior. How can one person be fully God and fully man united together in one flesh? How is the proclamation of the gospel, the power of God, unto salvation? Well, the same way that this same God who offers us grace in the gospel is the same God who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Do not theologize away the mystery. Do not theologize away the supernatural. We are actually and truly, indeed spiritually and by faith, we are communing with Jesus when we come to the table. And that is why we come. We come for Him. We don't come here to just go through the motions and do some ancient ritual that literally is ineffectual. We come seeking Christ. We come seeking the blessing of the Father. We come seeking the blessing of the Spirit. And we come to the table, and we need to come often because we need to remember reality. But this world will bog you down. This world will drain your faith. Think about it. The day in and the day out grind of life, the internet, the culture around us, think of your own flesh bogging us down, telling us that this life is all that there is. That only what you can see, only what you can hear, only what you can taste, only what you can touch, only what you can smell, that's all that's real. The Lord's Supper is telling us something far different. There is a reality beyond bread and wine. These are pointing us to a reality that can only be grasped, only be known by faith. That's why I'm saying we need to develop a sacramental worldview. We need to walk out of here realizing there is an unseen realm. There truly is a spiritual world. We have a triune God in heaven. His Spirit is bringing His presence throughout the world. I can't see that. I can't smell that. I can't taste that. But I know that, and that's what this teaches me. This isn't just a snack. I mean, think about it. If an unbeliever were to walk in here tonight, or maybe you are, maybe you're not a believer, maybe you've come tonight and you're interested, someone might have invited you to church. That unbeliever, or maybe it's you tonight, you're going to think that we are very light eaters. And that we have a really odd way of going about eating those very light meals that we enjoy together. But you see, they can't know that we are getting much more than a bit of bread and a little sip of wine because they do not know God. So this just looks silly to them. Just like the claim that we are the children of God. We are. The reason why they don't know us in that reality is because they do not know Him. The reason why this looks like a ridiculously tiny meal with no sustenance, no purpose, strangely eaten, is not because it isn't real, it's because they don't believe. They cannot see the reality that these signs are pointing to. They don't know Christ in all of His glory. And so the Lord's Supper reminds us and it teaches us that this is not all that there is. There is more to this meal. In fact, there is more to life than meets the eye. And this is so vital for us to keep being reminded of and living in light of, because I want you to think about this tonight, if this is all that there is, if there really is nothing more than the material world, if there's nothing more than the material world, then folks, ultimately, nothing really matters. Nothing matters at all. There is no purpose to life. There is no right. There's no wrong. None of those things which we all crave as human beings actually even exist. They're figments of our imagination. In other words, if there's nothing more, then there is no such thing as love. There is no such thing as grace. There is no such thing as meaning. There is no such thing as truth. There's no such thing as forgiveness. There's no such thing as redemption. There's no such thing as hope. And this then brings us to more briefly consider the second element of a sacramental worldview that the Lord's Supper teaches us. And that is, it teaches us of the reality of love and grace. The Lord's Supper not only teaches us of the reality of mystery and the supernatural, it teaches us of the reality of love and grace. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us. If the mystery is not really there, if there really is no supernatural, there can be no real love, and there is no need for grace. But the Lord's Supper is an intrusion into a fallen and blind world, and it's an intrusion that comes proclaiming the death of Christ until He comes again. And the death of Christ is nothing. Congregation, the death of Christ is nothing if it is not an absolute declaration of the truth and the reality of the love and grace of God for sinners like you and me. The cross says God is gracious to sinners. The cross says God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. At the end of the day, worldviews actually are not decided by. You really don't come to your view of things in this world by scientific inquiry or philosophical musings. You actually view the world like everyone else does, ultimately from your heart and your soul. A blinded heart, a blind soul, which is the condition of all who are outside of Jesus Christ. A blind heart and a blind soul sees no purpose, sees no real love, has no hope. But the heart that is enlightened by the grace of God continually seeks more. That heart is hungry. That heart knows there's more than just this life. That heart longs for deeper love than it's ever experienced here. That heart, that soul longs for real holy communion with God. It longs to fulfill its purpose. It longs to know forgiveness. It longs to ultimately one day see God. And the Lord's Supper is a proclamation that all of those longings are real and true. All of those deep longings that we have for more, those are real. Those are true. And it tells us that there is a source of satisfaction for all who long for those things. who know that there must be more, who desire God above all. You see, the Lord's Supper, in a roundabout way, but it does, it begins to tell us, it tells us that our Creator is actually the lover of our soul and our Redeemer. The Lord's Supper tells us that His love knows no bounds, that He would even give His own Son. Hold, what manner of love is that? The Lord's Supper tells us that He is gracious, that He actually seeks relationship with us, and that in love He has actually adopted us and made us His children. The Lord's Supper tells us that He is even now preparing a home for us to come and enjoy eternal communion with Him. You see, what we all need, what you need tonight as a believer, as a Christian, and what happens when we come, what you need and what actually happens when we come to the Lord's table is that we come home. And when you come home, when you sit at table with your family, an alternate reality, in other words, true reality, is put before you again and again. This tells you who you really are. When you come home, when you sit at table, you're reminded again of who you really are. Though the world doesn't know you, you are a child of God. You come, you sit at table, you learn again that this is not all that there is. That there is an unseen realm, there is mystery in reality. We worship and serve and commune with the triune God. And when we come to the Lord's table, when we come home, when we sit at table with our family, again, we're told that there is really love and grace. That those deepest yearnings and longings that we all have, those are real. And there really is one who can ultimately satisfy them. And He offers Himself to us as the satisfaction that we need and that we crave and that we seek for. When I come to the table, I'm confirmed then in my deepest longings. When I come to the table, I'm also then corrected for my, and I'm rebuked for my mundane and too shallow of a world view. I'm reminded that I have gotten callous, that I have gotten dull, that I have actually begun living more like a beast, like an unbeliever, than an actual child of God. The Lord's Supper calls me to live again according to my reality, which is I am a child of God. I sit at His table. I dine with Him. He talks to me. He tells me about the world. And I learn from Him, and I go out and I live for His glory. When I come to the Lord's table, I learn to live in light of the reality of the Lord's Supper. So come home. Come and take and eat. Come listen. Come believe. Come be humbled again tonight. Come back to God. Come back to Christ. Come back to the cross. And begin again to live in light of the Lord's Supper. Come and have Him tonight as He offers Himself to you. And come and let Him develop in you more and more. Let Him refresh in you a sacramental worldview. Let's pray together.